Hey, this is Tom Waddle. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship. Find out how to be a part of it at ESPNFFC.com.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
When some shows talk hockey, they like to break down power plays. Other shows might dissect zone entries and board battles, or maybe the lack of a net front presence.
Hey, listen, buddy, just keep stopping the puck, and that's all we care about, right?
Not on Waddle and Sylvie.
But In the sport, can't somebody grab? Because the defensemen have longer sticks, right?
If you want to talk hockey with Waddle and Sylvie, you better have a PhD in pucks.
Isn't that true? I thought that was
I don't know that.
I thought that used to be the case.
Because on the Waddle and Sylvie show, they puck you like you've never been pucked before.
Can't somebody who's normally not a defenseman, can he play that position in a pinch?
When Waddle and Sylvie puck you, they bring the lumber.
And didn't they say that it's really tough to skate backwards?
Yeah, you like getting pucked like that.
You may be right, but I don't know.
The defenseman's stick was longer than...
I didn't grow up playing hockey.
You know you like getting pucked like that.
That's how we talk hockey. I'm sorry.
There are no dumb hockey questions.
Puck me?
Many people, still the basics, aren't known. I don't even know if that's a basic question.
No, puck you.
That's hockey, baby!
When Waddle and Sylvie puck you, you know there's going to be some screaming.
Not going to slip one past the goalie?
Hello!
Watch your five hole.
I got the Vezina trophy working. Who are you kidding?
They might just slip one past the goalie.
I do have the right trophy, don't I?
I don't know.
Nobody's pulling the goalie when Waddle and Sylvie puck you.
I would think if you're doing a lot more poke checking.
Hockey talk.
Wouldn't you want your stick a little longer?
The only way Waddle and Sylvie know how.
I'm on the Mod Squad hockey chat board right now.
Hard and in your face.
Mr. Dangles, that's his handle, says many defensemen use longer sticks for obvious reasons.
On ESPN 1000.
Now it's just like throwing me to sites I don't think I'm allowed to be on. Bad move, Waddle.
Well, when you're Googling long sticks
and ESPN Chicago.
Got the stick. See, it's done. It's answered.
This thing started. Blackhawks, Golden Knights, game two in Edmonton. Vegas a big favorite.
Let's do this.
But don't give up yet. And yes, the Golden Knights are more talented. They're deeper. But the Hawks still can counterpunch here, Waddle. I don't know about you, but I am expecting one of those Patrick Kane games.
Well, I would like to see Kaner get on track today.
There's been many times in the postseason, even through the years where they won it all, where we had been saying, where is Patrick Kane? When's he going to have one of those magical performances? And we'd say, what's going on? What's with the drought? Then the next thing you know,
boom,
he would beat Los Angeles and he'd be skating across the ice,
biscuit
celebrating
meat.
A Showtime goal.
Biscuit meat basket. What is a Showtime goal?
That's what you, don't you remember the years they would win? Kaner would score and he would pump his fist and yell, Showtime.
I don't recall that.
No?
I probably should since I'm Mr. Dangles, but I don't.
Abdallah, can you get the 2013 Blackhawks Championship DVD up and running for Waddle today?
Yeah, we'll get that going. He's got 26 minutes to watch
that. Were you alive in 2013? How old were you in 2013?
Me?
Was three.
27, 8?
You're going to get a lot of this old guy versus young guy stuff starting on Monday, aren't we?
Bleck is no younger than Meller, is he? They're about the same age,
Bleck,
are they?
The same age.
No, Bleck and Abdallah went to high school together.
Where have you been? Do we need to? Well,
what did I say? I mean, Bleck and Meller.
Yeah, no.
Bleck and Abdallah are
went
the same
to high
age.
School together. You guys were Libertyville.
I'm actually older than him.
You were cats together, weren't
Wild
you?
Wildcats. Wildcats. It's not.
No, but I'm saying like Waddle's mentioning that we're getting younger, but Meller for Bleck, they're the same age, right?
No, that would mean Meller and Abdallah were the same age.
Yes.
Because Bleck and Abdallah are the same age.
Oh, okay.
Are you already on the weed?
Yeah, probably.
Sylvie, let's do some simple math here. If Bleck and Abdallah are the same age.
All right, that's what you were going for.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah. You need some breast milk, I think.
Did you watch the bear video,
by
the way?
That's awesome. Like, they don't even flinch. Hey, dude, this is a bear. Yeah, you know, move over. The bear needs a butter sandwich.
So if you missed it, this was going around like a couple of nights ago and yesterday.
It's great.
It's a campsite. And,
in Maryland.
Yeah, and a bear comes up to the picnic table.
What are you guys doing?
And they've already been educated that, hey, if a bear comes up to you, don't make any sudden moves.
Right.
So instead of not making any sudden
moves.
Must
have been one of the Bears' offensive linemen. They didn't hit anybody.
Yeah. Oh! That was Bobby Massey who came to the picnic table. He wouldn't hurt a fly.
Wouldn't put a hand on anyone. Damn, we're getting after people today.
Yeah. So I what would you do? Like, because I said to Abdallah,
run as fast as I could. Which isn't fast.
Didn't matter how many bear videos you've watched. Didn't matter how many handbooks you read.
No. And you're not
the first time you're coming in contact with a bear.
You're feeding it a peanut butter sandwich.
There's no chance that's happening.
Not for me. And I know that what they tell you, all the, you know, the outdoorsy people will tell you, the wilderness folks would tell you, you just have to, like, you have to be calm and not, like, the last thing you want to do is freak out and run, because then the bear probably freaks out and runs with you. You should probably sit down and make the bear a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. That's what they did, and nobody got mauled.
See, I think there's a fine line between not making any sudden moves and then all of a sudden taking selfies with the bear.
Yeah, these
and
people,
patting himself on the nose. Do you know what I mean?
These had to be high. These people had to be high, didn't they?
Yeah, I think so. They looked.
Were
like,
they patting the bear on the nose?
One of them did, I believe, when I read the article, or at least touched him on the nose.
Yeah.
Now, it turns out that the bear that... I guess the people, they were renting the home from somebody. And the people who rented them the home say that the bear has been there before and is, quote, a friendly bear.
Right. It's friendly until he decides to, you know, take a swipe at you. They say don't feed it. Yeah, don't feed bears.
Yeah, I...
Especially on Robinson. The bears don't want to feed him.
That's right. That's good.
Money.
Got to take care of your chicken.
Yeah. Get your chicken.
Yeah, yeah. So, all right. That was a bear video.
That was good. Yeah, that was the bear video was worth the time.
It reminded me of those people that, like, you see on the Discovery Channel, and it's like, he spent the last 5 years living, cohabitating with the bears.
Yeah, and then in year six, he got mauled.
And in the very end, it's like, Johnny was mauled. Like, right. Yeah, really?
Right.
Of course he was.
I like to swim with the sharks.
Because he's hanging out with bears.
Right.
Well, what about, did you mention the two guys in Vegas? One of them, I think, just passed away.
Siegfried and Roy?
Yeah.
Yeah, eventually you're going to get mauled.
Well, he was mauled, wasn't he? Yes, he didn't die being mauled.
They're like experts with it.
Yeah.
And like they knew every, you know, the tigers and them, they're all good.
Didn't you see the tiger
king? But he got mauled.
One of the workers lost her arm.
She was back the next day.
Yeah.
What episode did that happen? Because I think it happened. Oh, you know, no, that was early, right?
Yeah, when man. She doesn't Tiger King feel like 5 years ago?
Yes.
Yeah, and I didn't like it. I was one of the few people who said that I just couldn't finish it.
By the way, did you see also the video of the wild boar that came out of the ocean in Belgium, I think?
No,
I have
not seen
that
one. Just
came swimming out of the ocean. Oh, you got to check that one out, too.
Where'd it come from, do you believe?
He's an underwater boar. I don't know. It's wild. I don't know where it came from.
Yeah.
I know in the Bahamas there are pigs that will swim in like Exuma, the island. I think.
Mm-hmm. They were God, I can't believe it was. They were featured on an episode of The Bachelor where they went
of
to.
Of course.
Oh, by the way, my wife.
Of course they were.
My wife and all of my daughters watch Love Island. It's like
you told us about this. It's nuts. Love Island
is
nuts.
Out of control. There's like swearing. There's
like 500 episodes too. It's crazy.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
What is it, like The Bachelor on steroids?
Yes. It's unbelievably not something you want to watch. But my wife and daughters can't get away from it. It's crazy.
Thankfully, The Bachelor is not consumed in my house.
Yeah.
And then people just
tweet. Well, you don't know. Maybe Braxton goes next door to watch it.
Oh, yeah. No,
maybe that's what he's doing. You guys won't play the Bachelor, so he's going next door.
So are you, Abdallah, did you make a play on today's Hawks game? 4:30 puck drop?
I did not. I played the, not yet at least. I got 20 minutes.
What's the total? Because
6 again.
That's a lot for these two, isn't it?
Well, I mean, it got close last time to 6.
It was 4-1.
I mean, 4-1. If they would have pulled Crawford, you might have gotten one more for a push, Because
were you at that point when it was 4-1? Were you cheering for another goal from the Golden Knights?
Yes, yeah. I was, because I just wanted to. At that point, the game was over. Just pull the goalie and give me one more. But to get 5 goals after a scoreless first period, I was like, just give me a 6 so I can push.
Over under 3.5 shots on goal tonight for Patrick Kane.
How many pucks?
The over is -106. They're actually showing this on NBC Sports Chicago.
Hey, I told you guys. Puck Dallas says.
I'm just saying, I didn't realize Good Time Patty Boyle is actually part of their presentation right now. Is Patrick Kane the over-under on his shots this afternoon or 3.5?
Well, that's the thing, because that's what we did. That is a thing that, hey, is Patrick Kane going to have a Patrick Kane-type game?
I just didn't know they were going to go down Gambler's Island Gambler's Way on that.
And like that's what the Hawks struggled with in Game 1, 20 shots on net. And you got to get more. I've accepted that the Hawks' power play isn't any good. But can you not give up a goal while you're on the power play, too? Like, there were a lot of areas.
Didn't they get a shorty against they got a shorty.
The Hawks got a shorty, too, so did Vegas. And, Crow gave up that really bad goal, the one that went over his shoulder. The Hawks had some bad puck luck where a couple hit the crossbar.
I will make a prediction for you today, okay? Here's your prediction. Here's your hockey prediction for the day. Patrick Kane is going to have himself a game. He'll have his best game of the postseason. Do you want to know why?
Yes, I'm waiting.
The ice is going to be better. And Patrick Kane is a skilled guy. He can't skate around in that slushy crap that we've been playing on at 9:30. This is a 4:30 puck drop. The ice is going to be pristine, and he needs a fast surface.
Connor McDavid looked damn fast on that choppy ice.
But he's a bigger player and faster. I'm just telling you, Kaner's a finesse guy, and the pristine ice is going to be the difference for him. I say Kaner scores first of all players today.
Oh, really? First to score?
First to score. What can I get on that, Abdallah? What kind of odds can I get on Kaner to be first to score? Because he's going to get extra ice time as well. I would shake up some of the lineups. I'd make sure I'm double shifting Kaner today.
Okay.
Like, I want his ass to be gassed by the end of the game.
I said this to the guys yesterday, that I look at the bench, and the only time, like, I know they're not, like, 15 or 13 or anywhere in that, even 10, but... And I know there are a lot of players who aren't as good as the players who were on that team. But where I get the most depressed is when they show the zoom in on their coach. When that's where I get depressed.
Because it's not cute?
Right. And it's like, I don't have much faith in him. And I don't think he knows which buttons. I don't know if he even knows where the buttons are to push. And I don't know if he knows where to push them and where, you know, who and what. And
they're all coming back. They're all coming back.
There's no guarantee about him. Maybe Bowman, maybe by winning that first series, yes, he does come back. I don't have a lot of... They thought he was going to be this young, up-and-coming coach. I think he's proven to us that he's not.
He's no Jim Boylan.
That's true. There are very few Jim Boylans.
You get 12-1 on Kane.
First goal.
Yeah,
I'm
12-1.
I'm in.
Yeah.
Well, all right, so I got your play on this thing.
He's back.
All right.
You know what? I got
Kane. He's back.
How much? First goal or first?
First goal.
First goal.
So you can get first goal. Hold on. I got like 5 mice going on at once in here.
Hold on. I got a money fan working right now.
So you can get first goal at 12-1. You can get last goal.
No. First goal.
12-1.
No.
And you can get to score in general is only +180.
I think that's pretty good, though, for +180 for Patrick Kane to score a goal.
To score a goal.
I'm in on that.
Me, too. I'm in on Kaner scoring today.
I got 20 on Kaner with a goal, and I got 20 on Kaner with first to score. Okay? I don't know how the kids are going to eat tonight, but I got $40 on this hockey game.
The last to score, too, punctuates an empty net goal with a Hawks win.
Doesn't mean he'll be out there then. Though.
If you're playing Kane with the first to score and scoring, why don't you play them on the money line to win?
Say that again?
Why don't you play them on the money line to win?
Because I don't know that they're going to win. I just think he's going to score, and I think he's
going
to
score first.
You're getting
good odds on it. What are they? What, a plus what? 165, did you say? What are the Hawks?
I think Kaner comes out and starts skating circles around guys, right. Puts the biscuit in the basket to give go it, up 1-0, and then probably lose 5-3.
Oh, geez. Give us the odds.
We have breaking news.
He's already
Chicago's
scored.
Home for sports, ESPN 1000.
According to Buster Olney, another staffer on the Cardinals has tested positive, but the team continues to work toward a return to action. Players may drive rental cars individually to Chicago to play the White Sox this weekend.
If I'm the White Sox, I tell them, no, you cannot get into our ballpark. I'm saying you are not allowed in.
I wouldn't want my team all driving in rental cars.
Well, if it's not safe enough.
Who has to ride with who?
If it's not safe enough for that team to be together on a damn bus or buses,
then don't come
spread
to town.
Up. It's not safe enough to play another team yet.
Yeah, I don't.
Tell them to go home.
Yes, they sit. Relegate you. They're like the Nashville team of the MLS. Go home. Like, did we find out who's responsible for this? Did they do the contact tracing? Was it because they all went to a casino?
No, they didn't. Well, someone just denied it on a podcast, I believe.
That they didn't go to a casino?
Yes, they said it wasn't something that,
Did they go to a casino, though?
Let me dig that up and see who said what.
I think it was that the joke is they went to East St. Louis to register to gamble while they're in Illinois.
That was pretty funny. That was good.
Nothing like a good Illinois game.
Again, you can't make jokes when I've got hockey on the brain.
I'm trying to get your plays in.
I know. I'm just saying to you, but I got to get off the ice if I'm going to have a chuckle.
If you're a Sox fan, wouldn't you be? If you're canceling Friday and it's not safe enough to put the Cardinals on a few buses,
well, who's
that you're taking enough precaution to cancel Friday to get them in rental cars to go to Chicago, why would you want them playing against your team?
Who's COVID Cardinal? Who's the guy that's got it? I mean, what is his role? Is he your third base coach? Is he your assistant general manager?
The report is that it's the third base coach.
Isn't it Jose Oquendo?
Yeah.
Isn't he the third base coach?
So he's slapping five with guys as they round bases, but they haven't played
in forever. Have you seen the Cardinals? They don't score runs. No one's on third.
All right. We'll get to the bottom of this, and we're going leading up to a puck drop on the Hawks.
I got some money for a dollar.
We got Hawks money down tonight, 332-3776. All right, the Blackhawks and Golden Knights are going to drop the puck in Edmonton coming up here in a few minutes. Waddle, we each have money on Patrick Kane scoring.
Uh-huh.
You have money on Patrick Kane scoring the first goal of the
game.
That
is correct, and I believe the Hawks got a nice little, I guess, is his name Pacioretty? Is that how
yes.
you pronounce his name?
Yes.
He's been a really good player for the Knights, right?
Yeah, 32 goals this year.
Okay, but he wasn't in any of the the other
round robin
stuff.
Correct.
Because he'd been hurt. He's not playing today. He's been ruled unfit to play, and I looked at Abdallah and said, is that injury or is that COVID?
It's injury because he didn't play in the whole.
Right.
And he didn't play.
He just came back in game one. Wasn't that his first game back?
He didn't play that. He played okay.
Didn't he get hit in the knee on, I think one of his teammates had sent a slapper at the goal, and I think it banked off his knee. But is that how the hockey guys, they classify injuries? He's not fit to play?
Well, because remember, Taves was unfit to play for a while.
Okay.
But it wasn't COVID related.
Yeah, they just like to be in.
They have a weird lingo.
Upper body, lower body. They don't. Why even describe anything? You know what I mean? If someone gets scratched before the game and you tell me that they're unfit to play, what are you actually saying to me?
Yeah.
Well, obviously, he's unfit to if he's not playing. So like we always say, you never wish an injury,
right.
But you'll always take the team if they're without one of their best goal scorers.
By the way, a quick update. Reds are down 2-0 to the Pirates in the bottom of the first. Just so you know, you get a feel for what the rest of the Central is all about.
Yeah, but then Castellanos will homer a couple.
He's up now, but it hasn't helped.
All right. So Bob Nightingale, more on this Cardinals story let me get you. Do you have the Buster Olney tweet again about someone testing positive again? And like, oh, here it is. Another staffer on the Cardinals has tested positive, but the team continues to work toward a return to action. The team may bring Jose Oquendo to coach third base. Players may drive rental cars individually to Chicago to play the White Sox this season.
This
and then Bob Nightingale said that would be the 18th. The Cardinals player are staffed to test positive in the first in 4 days.
I'm with what Abdallah just said and what you were saying as well. I mean, listen, just push it back a few more days. What's the rush?
No, we're done. We're done with the Cardinals. We're done. I'm sorry.
I mean, what's the rush?
Well, so here's what Nightingale said, too. He said the St. Louis Cardinals coach, who tested positive, was in isolation and not in contact with the team. The Cardinals still plan to travel to Chicago on Friday and play doubleheader Saturday. Now, why is Friday canceled? And B, why is a guy who's in isolation testing positive?
That's a really good question.
If he's in isolation, why is he testing positive?
Well, maybe he got the Rona before he went into isolation.
Well, the incubation period is 14 days.
So can't that mean one of the players can still get it if somebody? Well, that's like, I just don't like this. They were saying last week at this time, hey, we're good. We're trending to play the Cubs. The next thing you know, they canceled Friday. They wouldn't cancel Saturday and Sunday. Then they canceled Saturday and Sunday. What have they done so far? We're good. We're trending in the right direction, but let's cancel Friday. Let's play a doubleheader Saturday. And I just don't like the sound of any of this.
By the way, they've played 5 total games, right?
5.
How many days are left in the season? Like, now is everybody going to be forced, whoever plays them, to play doubleheaders?
I think it's like 45 days to get their games in.
No. I mean, that's not going to work for me.
Sorry, man. Sorry, Cardinals. Sorry, St. Louis. Sorry. Not this year.
And again, I'm not blaming anybody. Like, you could catch this by taking precautions. But I just...
But
again,
a lot of teams haven't.
Right.
The blame is simple, right? This goes back to both, because I don't want to get into a yelling match with Tom Waddle. This is both on the players, and it's on Rob Manfred in Major League Baseball.
Thank you.
Because if you would have originally, and he said it himself, said, we always knew we were only going to play 60 games. If you would have started this and started playing in June or late May, you would have had time to be like, hey, we can still get all these games in, guys. We got nothing but time. But if he would have just done it, and the players would have been like, all right, fine, 60 games, when and where? Hashtag when and where? Hashtag when and where? Just, okay, end of May, 60 games. That's what we're doing.
See, I'm in the point now in the COVID universe we live in. I'm not going back. I mean, it is what it is.
And I'm getting baseball every night for the most part.
I'm getting basketball. Listen, baseball is going to be more difficult, unfortunately.
Well, you asked for who's to blame. If teams are taking precautions, everybody's doing it safely, then to blame is...
I was not asking who's to blame. I think we're too quick to point the finger directly at one person,
correct,
as opposed to a lot of different issues.
Abdallah, here's what I'm pointing out. I don't want to blame somebody else going forward because the Cardinals had to get in a game in Chicago because they haven't played in a week and a half. I don't want the common sense, and again, they know a lot more than me. But if you just, again, read the tea leaves, they canceled tomorrow's game. They postponed it. Why? Because the Cardinal personnel... a staffer tested positive who was in quarantine. So they canceled tomorrow. So anything's possible.
Right.
I don't want to hastily play a doubleheader now on Saturday because the Cardinals, and then the blame game will be had. Okay, the Cardinals now all of a sudden got someone else who tested positive. They came in contact with Luis Robert at first base. Luis Robert spread it to a couple of players on the White Sox who've been doing a good job, and now all of a sudden you have a third team after the Cardinals and Marlins who have spread this around. Keep the team that keeps testing positive out of a ballpark.
Amen. I think it's really simple.
All right, before we get into this Blackhawks game, final predictions.
Hawks win 4-3.
Hawks lose.
So the over hits.
Hawks lose 5-3, but
ouch.
Kaner is your gets the first goal of the game.
Hawks win 4-2. The over pushes.
Okay.
Are you guys in with me on the Kaner bet? I can't believe you didn't go Kaner with me.
I might go Kaner to score.
I'm not sharing my $20 bet with you. I just want the honesty to be out there right now. That's my $20. I'm not sharing the bet.
No, nor would we ask. Why would you think we would ask?
I didn't know if you guys wanted a piece of it.
No.
You guys wanted a piece of it.
All right, so we'll keep you updated on the Blackhawks. Dan Wiederer answers this question. With all these good players getting extended around the NFL, what the heck delay with Allen Robinson? That's coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
All right, we'll keep you updated, too, on all the happenings from the matinee with the Hawks and Knights, Golden Knights, Game 2. The weirdest training camp ever is taking place. I told you, Waddle, earlier that it's a weird watch. I thought Pat Boyle in our text chain said it best because I watched it after Pat texted us, that it's a little slow and it's a little, if you want to escape COVID, it's not Hard Knocks, because Hard Knocks is all about it, because that's what the NFL is trying to do. They're trying to
not
have
surprised
a training camp.
It was a focal point of the early episodes, for sure.
Yes, yes. And they're not doing anything football-related.
Right.
They can't even throw the ball. Like, Jared Goff was joking that he wanted to throw the ball, and he couldn't throw the ball. But Sean McVay, as expected, is very good, and there's some entertaining. Remember, there are two teams this year being featured. They bounce back between the two LA teams, which I think, especially now, is needed between the Rams and the Chargers, both in Los Angeles.
Nice.
So the point of all this is that it's going to be tough to figure out who's winning this quarterback competition and what's going on with the Bears, but Dan Wiederer is trying. He works for the Tribune and checks in with us every week and joins us right now on the Corona Hotline. Hi, Dan.
Fellas, how are you?
We're good. I mean, so are you going to be able to watch any of this, or is this all going to be closed for you guys?
No. Monday is the grand reopening to Hellas Hall for us on the beat. It's been a long, long, long time. My former colleague, Rich Campbell, who got out of the business back in January, asked me last week, hey, have you been back up the Lake Forest yet? And I said, you've been to Hellas Hall more recently than I've been there by a matter of hours. And so that gives you an indication of just how long it's been since we've been up there, since there's been an actual practice. And every time that you start to feel a little bit uncomfortable as a beat writer for all that you've missed and all that you haven't seen, you check in with somebody up there and they say, we haven't seen anything yet. They had their first sort of practice yesterday. And so nobody's really seen anything yet. And so that's why this whole thing is really, really under an intense time crunch.
Dan, are you going to be allowed to access the media room like normal? Or is it like, so you're allowed to be there to watch practice, but you're not allowed to ever step in the building?
Correct. There will be no inside access for any of us in the media. So basically, we'll watch practice. Practice will end. You'll have to rush back to your car, get out of Dodge, and get somewhere where you can set up for the post-practice Zoom press conferences. And so
you understand that, right? I mean, it's not something
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's just different, and it's strange, and it's just unusual in every way. And so you just have to adapt. But yeah, I wouldn't let us in the building either. There's no way you should add additional risk to something that you're really, as I said a number of times, you're walking through a minefield. So why add more to the mix?
Right.
Are you going to, have you come up with a way other than just the eye test of charting the quarterback competition to sort of gauge it like on a daily basis?
Well, the first step is figuring out exactly how they're structuring it each day. And so Monday we'll get a look. They'll have a padded practice and we'll get a look at exactly what they are doing with these guys. And I know Matt Nagy has stressed a number of times how situational they're going to be with this. They want to look at it through the lens of which guy is performing well on third down, which guy is making good decisions in the red zone, which guy is leading 2-minute drills with efficiency and rhythm and fluidness. And so there's going to be a lot of situational work, and I have no idea where we're going to be allowed to stand, how far away we're going to be. I'll have my binoculars around my neck and my face shield over my face, and I'll be trying to see as much as I can until I know what this thing actually looks like. It's hard to figure it out. But I do think, Sylvie, that you can get, as we did a year ago, a feel for how a practice is going and how the rhythm of things are. It's just going to be so much smaller of a sample size this year than ever before. And so it is going to be a little bit of a guessing game on a lot of fronts.
And that's my point. Like, we're usually you know, a lot of people overreact about stuff to begin with. And last year, you saw the trend. It was a long period that some on our station didn't want to listen to you. But this is going to be an even smaller, and they're going to, the problem here is, Dan, is they're going to have to take this really small sample size and get a feel for it, too.
Shelby, I have a rule, particularly in 2020. It's called the name names rule. Who at the radio station last year didn't want to believe me? Name names.
Cap.
There you go.
Cap did not want to hear anything that happened, and sure enough, it showed you where he was on his progression situation.
So I looked this up just out of curiosity. Yesterday was the one-year anniversary of when Cap told me that I needed to start judging things with my heart a lot more than I was judging it with my eyes, just so everyone remembers that.
The silliest statement I've ever heard. Judging with your heart and not with your eyes.
Every morning at 7 a.m. on ESPN 1000.
If your eyes, go with your heart.
So here we are a year and a day later, and I haven't seen any football in 2020. And so when we get out there Monday, I'm going to use my eyes. I'm going to leave my heart out of it again, and I'll try to give you as much information as I can. It's going to be really complicated. And for those who think that, you know, the Bears coaching staff really, really wants Nick Foles to sort of be on that on-ramp to become the starter that can take this team, you know, further than Mitch Trubisky can. You got to remember that Nick Foles now has to get timing with receivers and understanding of an offense, you know, chemistry with the entire offense as a whole in basically 3 weeks before they start preparing for a week one game against the Detroit Lions in Detroit. And so when you really consider the time crunch that they're under, it is super intense. And every time you start feeling like there's a lot to be optimistic about with this Bears team, you just circle back to the offense and you say, look, they've opened up the quarterback competition. They've overhauled the tight end position. They've got four new coaches on staff who are just now getting to work with their players for the first time on August 12th. And so you put that all under the microscope and you say, my goodness, there is a lot of work that they've got to get done in a very short period of time to be ready to play winning football.
Yeah. I familiarity is one thing, but a lack of accuracy will always supersede or trump any type of you know, familiarity. No question. So are you standing by your prediction of several weeks, if not months ago? I am, and I know this is going to be odd, and when they signed Nick Foles or they traded for Nick Foles, I didn't realize this would ultimately be the path to the opening game of the season, which I think is a month from today. I picked Foles then, I'm staying now. Where are you?
Yeah, I'm staying there. I just want to be given the opportunity to respond next week at this time when we've seen four practices, maybe three practices at this time, and just try to get a feel. I have never seen Nick Foles outside of that playoff game, you know, a couple of years ago in person, you know, never met him, never seen him throw the ball live. And so you want to get some of that feel for how it looks with this offense, with this personnel, with this group to really feel like, okay, he's locked in and it's clear that he has the comfort level that the coaching staff talks about ad nauseum. We'll see where it goes. I mean, there is a lot of work that needs to get done up there. To their credit, I will say this about Matt Nagy. He is an answers guy, right? He's not an excuse maker. He looks for answers when there are major questions out there. And so I think this year of all years, that sort of positive energy, solution-oriented mindset will be helpful in a very uncertain time.
I got a double question on Allen Robinson and the possible contract extension.
Yeah.
One is, what's the holdup? And two, do they have extra money to use now that some players have opted out?
So they have some cap space for 2020 that they could get creative with and fiddle with a little bit. And so you obviously would want to consider that. I think the uncertainty with what the cap is going to look like in 2021 is very intense. And I know other teams are signing big contracts. The Chiefs, I've got to do some homework on how they're going to make all this work. I think there's going to be a mass exodus in free agency next year. I think they're going to have to look at guys like Frank Clark, Sammy Watkins, those type of guys to take restructures or significant cuts to make all this work. They are well over what the cap floor for 2021 is at this point. And so eventually you have to figure out a way to get back beneath that number. I'm going to answer your first question with a question, and then I'll try to go from there. Why on August 13th does the Allen Robinson thing have you tied up in knots right now?
Well, it doesn't have me tied up in knots, but I have figured that this is something they'd want to get done. It's one of the few guys that Ryan Pace identified who is just coming into his prime. He with the worst quarterbacks, have shown you how steady he is. So, and he wants to be here. And other teams are getting deals done. So with the extra cap room, I want to know, why has there been a lack of progress?
So I would just tell you not to worry significantly. Ryan Pace's track record, we can go back to 2016, Kyle Long, 2017, Charles Leno, Akeem Hicks, 2018, Eddie Goldman, last year, Cody Whitehair. These are all guys that got extensions either at the very end of August or at the very first part of September. And so that's been the timeline for the Bears. I think there's some risk management involved in that to make sure a guy can get through training camp without suffering a catastrophic injury that then puts you on the hook for money that you wouldn't want to be on the hook for. The only thing that gives me a little bit of pause in this situation is this uncertainty about where the number one, the salary cap is going to be in 2021. And we always talk about salary cap, and there's also a cash budget at Hallis Hall. And I think right. The uncertain times of how much revenue that this organization is going to lose this year brings another complicating factor into this discussion. I personally don't think that it's going to drag on for a long time. I think they feel very strongly about Allen Robinson and what he brings to the locker room, what he brings to the huddle, what he brings to the offense. I think they feel very strongly about rewarding those types of guys, and eventually it will get done. So right now in mid-August, I don't have a lot of anxiety about it. Now, if we're talking about this, you know, September 10th, and they still don't have any progress and they haven't given us any answers as to why not, then I think we can sort of turn that dial up one or two levels.
Waddle, I'm sorry about that. I want to just follow up with this, Dan. Is there a way, like NBA, you could really get creative with a cap, like you mentioned? So because the cap isn't going to go up next year, and it's probably going to go down because of the pandemic. So while it's at this point now, and while you have room, can you really get creative this year where you can pay them a ton this year, or at least, you know, take a ton of the hit this year, and that way make it more team-friendly, not necessarily in Allen Robinson's pocketbook, but for the cap in next year and the year after when the cap takes the hit?
And there's certainly ways that you can fiddle around with that to some extent. It can't be this extreme, exaggerated way of going about that, but there are ways you can fiddle with that and create some of your own room and help yourself in that regard. But the Bears are another team that for 2021, knowing where the floor is, with everybody hoping that, you know, it comes in a little bit higher than what the floor is, they're going to be up against it a little bit. And so it just makes all these discussions a little bit more complex, a little bit more complicated, and you just have to take a handful of additional things factored into the equation when you're trying to figure out what's the fair market value, how do we want to structure this, where do we want to get it to. We'll see where all this heads. I do think that they value Allen as an integral part of everything that they do, and so I would expect that they would work in the direction of getting this thing figured out before the regular season starts. But again, I don't know what the dynamics from above are, again, with the cash budget and some of the uncertainty about all the revenue losses that will occur this year.
And Dan, I don't know how much, you know, kind of information you have overall when you look at the league, the 32 different teams. Are you hearing good things about how the health and safety protocol has been implemented? And are you confident that the Bears hopefully will have some of the same success keeping things on track the way that the Cubs and the White Sox have?
The testing numbers to this point have been impressive, and I've told you guys that the NFL did a really good job, in my opinion, of giving themselves a chance to have success in a very uncertain time. And so to this point, it's been impressive the way that they've stayed on the right side of this thing. Now, we haven't had any of these practices where guys are, you know, five on the offensive line, four on the defensive line, all spitting on each other and up in each other's faces and doing all that stuff for 2 hours every morning for an entire week. Who knows how that changes the equation of this thing? We'll see where it goes. To this point, everybody that's been up at Hallis Hall has talked in glowing terms about how comfortable they feel, about how the guidelines are very direct and straightforward, and you are, you know, justified in calling out anyone who is violating a guideline. They've kept this thing humming right along to this point. Let's see what happens now when practice starts moving forward and the collisions start occurring. But, man, right now, to this point, they've done a good job of this.
Yep.
All right, Dan, anything else that we need to know?
Boy, I just can't express how much eagerness I have to actually see a football practice.
Yeah, right.
And then on top of that, just how intense this time crunch is, guys. I mean, like, you're talking about 4 weeks from now, we're going to be in week one, right? And what does that look like? And how do you cross that bridge from here to there in a way where your football team is ready to play?
Maybe a little sloppy off the start.
Yeah, I mean, offensively, you're talking about needing timing with your quarterback, a reconfigured running game. You know, what is Jimmy Graham and Cole Kmet? How do they assimilate to the offense? There is so much that needs to get done for the Bears offense, and I'm just very curious to see realistically what they can get done in a short time window. Yep.
Dan, great stuff. We can't wait to talk next week and find out what's going on. Thank you.
Thanks, Dan.
You bet. Talk soon, guys.
There you go. I'm excited for Monday, too, to get some eyes on them and see what's really going on. Something happened yesterday that was very un-Waddle-like, and I want an explanation. That's coming up next. All right, no score so far between the Hawks and Golden Knights. Waddle, I heard this today from Cap that you did not golf like you normally golf.
No, I had
that you golf like most of us normally golf.
I probably had the best day on the course, or the worst day, rather, on the course that I have, I think, ever had. I think it's the worst score I've ever had.
You went over north of 100?
Yeah, I think it was right. Gian Greco and I stopped keeping score like with 5 or 6 holes left to play.
More
like
drinks.
Once I came out, I've been dealing with a little bit of a shoulder injury. So I got a cortisone shot, and I played Saturday and played well. I thought all my problems were solved, and then did a lot of lifting Monday and Tuesday.
Oh,
and
well, that's
found
stupid.
A little,
why would you go back to lifting like a couple days after
know.
A cortisone
I don't
shot?
Know. So
get greedy, why don't
I'm
you?
I'm dealing with a shoulder problem that actually changes my swing a little bit as I try to protect it. And my wedges were just disaster. I played so bad on the front side that I kind of just, to be honest with you, I kind of gave up.
What'd you shoot on the front?
I think it was 50. I think it was shot 50. Like, I don't shoot 50.
Right.
Like I said, I shot 82 on Saturday on a comparably difficult. I mean, it just.
That's why I said it was very unwaddle.
I don't really want to talk about it because I'm down about it.
Oh, well, you can't. I mean, so come on. So you got to face the adversity.
So much so that I've actually scheduled my MRI. I'm going to address this problem and try to get it fixed as I'm tired of not being able to do really what I want to do with my left shoulder. It's a
so
disaster.
You're thinking about possible surgery.
Well, I got to see what's wrong with it first. So I'm going to have a bunch of dye injected into my shoulder capsule, and then I'm going to get into even one of these really open MRIs scare the crap out of me.
Why? Because it's open.
I'm totally claustrophobic, but you still got to go in.
Right.
Well,
but it's
open,
a lot better.
That's open is the word, but I'm not sure it's as open as I want it to be. So I'm going to be all lubed up on Xanax, I think, to get in there.
Well,
but I need to figure it out. I need to find out. I need to find some answers.
All right. I was shocked to hear that.
When, no, I was too.
Because you do not shoot 100.
No, and I'm not going to lie to you. I take pride in my ability to, be at the top of my game regardless of what that game is. And I just pooped and peed all over myself yesterday.
Wow.
It was awful. It was awful. It was the worst golf game I've ever had.
All right, coming up
Thanks
next.
Thanks for bringing it back. Oh, by the way, Reds are trailing 9-1 in the second.
Nice. Still no score between the Hawks and Golden Knights. 8 minutes into the game, just about. All right, in 2 minutes, we're going to talk to Jesse. How good are the Cubs? And what's the latest here with the Cardinals? Should they stay out of Chicago? Jesse's very in touch with what's going on with baseball. We'll talk to him in 2 minutes.